Paul and Anne de Savary set up their care home business after having a disabled daughter. She was born with learning difficulties, and really fighting to get the best for Laura over the years gave them an insight into the world of care. So they set up Home From Home Care as a result. And I'm pleased to say that Paul and Anne are with me in the studio. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
Let's talk about Laura first of all. And tell me a bit about Laura and how old she is now.
Laura is now 33. And she lives up in Grimsby in one of our care homes where she enjoys a very fulfilled life and doesn't really like coming home too often.
Oh, really? She's enjoying herself so much?
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about Laura's background then. Was she born with learning difficulties?
Yes, she was born very premature with a scoliosis. And at that time, I was told that, you know, she had brain damage and that she would be needing a whole load of help. So Paul and I started immediately to sort of coax her and encourage her with speech therapy, taught her how to crawl, all the things that parents who have been told that the baby is going to be, you know, delayed in development would do.
And was Laura your first child?
She was our second.
Second child.
Yes, we have Hugo.
What was it like, though, as soon as you knew that there was a problem?
It was very frightening. Obviously, you're not given a cross that you can't bear. And luckily, we were able to sort of look on the optimistic, you know, on the bright side of things and get her going. She was absolutely adorable. So from a maternal point of view, that helps as well. And Hugo was a wonderful son. He was then already 2 years plus, and he just took to her with a whole load of love, and it's been like that ever since.
Did that help as well, Paul? You know, a successful businessman as you are, we're not ready for these sort of knocks in our lives, are we?
Oh, absolutely. I think that I can genuinely say today that I think Laura has been my teacher in life. I think I was sort of going on a fairly sort of hedonistic type approach. I was reasonably successful. And I suppose my aim was just to try and make money and so on. And I don't think that is really what we're here for necessarily. I think by having Laura, I find there's something quite fascinating that she's given me an insight. I think we've invested huge sums of money, which we've raised, and we employ 200 people, and we support over 55 people within our homes. And I think for somebody with a learning disability to have achieved that and to have made that happen, I think is quite astounding.
Did you have phases, though, in the early days where you would say, Anne, why us?
Definitely. But then you're overtaken by all the therapies, and also you're encouraged with the results. Laura started talking, we had music therapy, we had a whole load of physiotherapy, and you do see the results. I was very lucky. She went to a very normal little nursery school where she started later than all the other children, but she was able to keep up. She learnt how to read and write. She speaks French. I mean, there's a whole load of things that Laura can do, which we're very, very proud of.
Are you surprised how she's progressed over the years, and Paul?
Yes, no, very much so. I'm both surprised at how much she's progressed in many sort of obvious ways, but then just how very, very complex she is in other ways, and how it's just been impossible to be able to support her at home. And I think that's the bit that's often overlooked with people with learning disabilities. You see the bright side, but there is another much more sort of complex side.
Was there help out there? Were there people to turn to and talk to?
Yes, there were groups, obviously, but a lot of the therapists. But we did a lot of research ourselves. And I think, having gone through all that, I find that at this stage in our lives, I'm able to really empathise and sympathise with parents and see the wider picture and tell them there is light at the end of the tunnel, although however hard it is, there is a whole load of encouragement and people are there to help.
Laura, now in her 30s then, what is her situation now? You say she can speak French, so she's doing very well, isn't she?
At one level, she's doing fantastically well. I think the thing is that people with learning disabilities, they tend to become the centre of their lives, and they don't necessarily sort of relate to other people. You tend to be sort of the add-ons in their life, and I think that where she is in one of our homes, she's so well supported that, you know, the staff make her the centre of everything that happens around her. And that has huge implications in her being much more happy with life, more contented, being able to do things that she wouldn't do before. She goes and does a little job on Mondays, and she leads a very fulfilled life, which she wouldn't be capable of doing if she wasn't supported in the way in which she is supported.
Did you know from quite an early age that eventually you would have to find some suitable accommodation for her at some point?
Yes, because I always wanted Laura to be safe. However, a fulfilled life she were to lead, I couldn't see her in the community leading the more independent lives that a lot of these young people are encouraged to do. That wasn't for Laura. Laura likes to be sociable. She likes to be surrounded by the extended family, which makes up the home where she lives. And the great thing about Home from Home Care is that when young people come to us, the sort of help and support that they are given is around them. They don't just come in and fit into any old home. We make absolutely sure that where they're going to be living in one of the five homes is going to suit them and not the other way around.
And what was there available when you were looking around for something suitable for Laura then?
I think it was probably the most depressing sort of moment of or year and a half of our lives. I think we visited something like 20-odd homes. It was sort of ripped curtains, smell of urine. It was so depressing. There was no broken furniture. All of the things that, you know, one unfortunately sort of associates with care in its worst sense. And unfortunately, that tended to be the norm. And we just felt, surely to goodness, we must be able to do something better than this.
You were just saying, Paul, how frustrating and, you know, irritating it was in some respects, I suppose, to find that there were no suitable homes that Laura could go to.
Yes, no, absolutely. It was totally depressing. And it just occurred to us more and more that actually we were going to have to do something about it ourselves.
And it wasn't just finding a home for Laura to live. You wanted some element of education there as well, did you?
Because people with learning disability never stop learning. So if we could offer a course, and we do offer a City and Guilds course, MPTC, where the ones who want to carry on learning can. A lot of them have had enough of college and routine and things like that. A lot of them do want a little job if they can.
And also an element of being slightly independent as much as they can, I suppose.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I just feel that, you know, regardless of whether anybody has speech or doesn't have speech, it's in our DNA that we want to have ownership over what happens in our lives. And, you know, if we treat people as though they are victims of the situation rather than as individuals, and it is about treating them as individuals, it's about supporting people and not caring for people. That might sound very hard. You care anyway, but in terms of supporting, it's about actually encouraging the individual to do even the menial tasks as much as possible themselves. And to do that, you've just got to have staff who are very proactive and who create this sort of positive sense of environment around each person. And they really do respond to that.
I mentioned a very successful business person from the world of construction, not from the world of running care homes. So how did you go about setting up your first care home?
Well, we went around setting up our first care home. Property-wise, in terms of creating the right environments, was easy. We've won awards for that, so that's not a problem. The issue really was around the support or the care, and that did become a problem. And the people we started with, we didn't end up with. And in the end, we've actually had to do it ourselves. And we've realised that actually care... It's an aspiration, but it shouldn't be an aspiration. It should be a product. It should be the nuts and bolts. And that's really what we've had to work out, is what are the nuts and bolts that make care work.
And were you designing the first care home with Laura in mind?
I think the answer is yes and no. At the time, Laura was in a supported living placement, which is another type of care, and we just thought, well, maybe she would come to us ultimately. But in the first instance, we were going for very complex, even more complex people than our own daughter.
And has it been rewarding seeing some of the people that you've helped over the years?
Totally fulfilling. We've also got our godson in the home, who was brought up partly with Laura. We used to go on holidays together and they were at college together. And we've also got friends who unfortunately have gone ahead and had children with learning disabilities. So for us, it's a big responsibility to any parent who places their child in Home from Home Care.
There's obviously a need for this because the business is just grown from strength to strength, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And I mean, there are more and more people being sort of diagnosed or identified with autism, and there are more people surviving, more children surviving their syndromes who perhaps wouldn't have survived in the old days. And I think what the need is for an organisation that really does deliver what it says it delivers. And that's what we do. And we do that, I think, successfully, in as much as we have 23 local authorities who place with us. That's people from all over the country. And I think, you know, it's a very satisfying thing to do.
And is that providing respite care for some people as well?
We used to provide respite care, but we don't any longer because it's not respite. You can't really mix residential and respite.
Because that environment of the residential is that this is where I live, this is my environment. So you don't want somebody else in respect coming into that environment, do you?
Absolutely. It's each individual's home who lives there. And, I mean, that's something that the staff are very clear of as well. It's not the staff's home. This is the people that we support. It's their home. You know, the staff are there to support the individuals. And that is critical. And you can't really say this enough. It is about supporting people to achieve them at their potential. We have one young man whose mother found us when he was 14 years old and said, when he's 18, this is where I want him to come to. And when he did come to us, you know, he had a history of attacking staff and so on, very complex autism. And I just thought, oh my goodness, you know, are we really going to be able to support this young man? If I tell you that today he has a job which he's had for 2 years, that he's supported one-to-one in that job, he does it 3 days a week, Julie's Cafe, I just think that the proprietor who's made that possible is a fantastic person, and it just shows how you can actually integrate even the most complex person into the community.
You were just telling me also a story from the weekend of was it a birthday party where one particular individual you would never have expected to be in that environment?
Absolutely. We try and celebrate events. This was actually, as it happens, it was my godson's 30th birthday, and his mother had organised the event. There were 90 people there with the residents and with staff, and we had a young man who came to us 6 months ago, incredibly complex. He'd had 2 placement breakdowns before, very complex autism. You cannot talk to him about his future, anything other than 7 days in advance. And, you know, he has a number of people who can actually now work with him. And I was absolutely staggered to see him at this party, because this is something that would have been inconceivable. And I have to be honest, I had a wet eye when I saw that.
Sure. There is, you know, in the press and the media, a lot of criticism of care homes. How do you ensure that standards are maintained in whatever care home you're operating?
We go for transparency. We really do. We obviously encourage whistleblowing. And we really put a lot of emphasis on training. If somebody comes in to us, bear in mind it's pretty specialist support and care that we offer. A number of staff are trained around the needs of that person. So we're talking about high medical needs in some cases as well.
And of course, you've got your daughter who's using one of the facilities, so therefore you want her to have the best as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a full-time quality assurance and compliance manager. She attends all of the staff meetings in the homes. She basically does audited and unannounced inspections. And that's really what it's about. It's about having a structure which you can follow. Every home has 3 staff meetings every month. The expectation is every member staff should attend a staff meeting, every member of staff should have a supervision, and these are opportunities where things are discussed openly or confidentially and information can be shared.
What are your hopes for Laura?
I hope that Laura carries on living a fulfilled life, happy. She's obviously got this little job, you just don't know in life. She hopes to achieve all sorts of things, and we will endeavour to help her.
Still an inspiration to you?
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, I just think how this funny little person, sometimes, you know, she's a real person, but sometimes she's a funny little person, has changed our lives and the lives of many people.
Fascinating. Thank you both very much indeed for sharing that with us this morning. Really appreciate it. It's an incredible story, isn't it, of how people's lives turn around. And that's really what we've been talking about this morning, isn't it, in the first hour of the programme, when you lose someone unexpectedly. But then, you know, there's a change and you perhaps change direction with the situation there when Laura was born with learning difficulties. Who would have thought that would be a complete change of direction for Paul and Anne's life as well? BBC Radio Lincolnshire on 94.9 FM.